And right now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports. He has well over 40 years of experience in those subjects and more. And we welcome him in on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you. This is Robin from New York City. How are you doing?
Very good. How are everything all settled down there now in the city?
I've settled it all down. Everything's gone.
You know, the more I was talking earlier this morning with our meteorologist, Pat Pagano, and Pat's been with us since day one, since we've been on the air. And Pat, since day one, has been giving a lecture to various organizations and also talking about on the air how unprepared America's Northeast cities are, never mind the South, especially the Northeast from the Mid-Atlantic on up, how unprepared we are for today's effects of storms. And it showed when Sandy happened in our area. And once again, this time, the remnants of a tropical depression, even though there was a week's worth of warning from every weather service around saying that there was going to be 5 to 8 inches of rain in a short period of time, no matter where you were. After this all happened, we heard politicians of both parties say, we didn't know this was coming. Jim, as someone who lives in the city and knows now that we have the effects of climate change, which is we have extreme weather, more extreme weather than we've had before, and unexpected twists in extreme weather. And it is now too late to plan against climate change. We now, as a country, have to plan how we're going to protect our cities.
Well, I go back to Al Gore in the 90s. He told us what was going to happen, and it's happening. And the average citizen might have said, well, oh, I'll put that aside for another day. But the professionals you mentioned should have taken his words a little bit more seriously. And that is the problem we have right now. People just have heard a lot of different signs and ways that, be it climate change or just things happen or whatever, they just don't want to accept it. They just want to look the other way. They just want to say, well, the sun will come out again. And it's a very, very old-fashioned way of looking at things, namely, okay, if I hide my head, I won't see it, and therefore it won't happen. And that's exactly what we have here. And I'm no meteorologist, but I do know that, God, as long as probably the mid-90s, that's the other century, in a newsletter, actually, I wrote a printed newsletter about my concern for municipalities that are on the Long Island coast in terms of what will happen to them in light of what I and certainly more professional people than I saw happening. And, you know, it's just that I will say on one hand, well, it's just human nature, but that's fine. Human nature be damned. You have to learn. You have to learn. If you look at what happened here in New York City when we had floods from the East River and all kinds of damage, what kind of rocket scientist do you need to be to say, well, gee, this could happen again? And that's exactly what happened. Now, the key here is the average citizen might not want to put any stock in this, but the people who supposedly run governments and support us and protect us, they have got to get off the dime. And this goes to this big bill we have pending in the Congress in terms of many, many things, economic, but very specifically pertinent to this, a lot of money to deal with climate change. And I think I said this maybe last time, but the point is, between the fires burning on the West Coast and the flooding, and now hitting New York as well as Louisiana and so forth, we might not have a place called the USA in a while. I mean, it'll take some time, but you know, we cannot sustain ourselves if we keep wasting our land and our water and so forth. Now, crops, we get so much stuff from the West and the Midwest. We can't handle, we just can't handle this and sustain ourselves in terms of food.
You know,
here on the East Coast, look, we all saw it. Hopefully, we're going to learn from it. I hope to God we do learn from it. Because to see people, 50 people in this area die from a storm is just out of sight, out of mind.
And Jim, you know, it's not only in this country, the that beautiful, huge hydroelectric power plant and dam they built in China, one of the world's largest. Well, they're finding now that the weather is so extreme there that the amount of water that they have to hold back, they're already planning alternatives there, what they can do, because it is more water than when they figured out all the construction. It's not an immediate danger, but it needs already to be updated because of the extreme weather. It's not only in this country; it's all over the world. And when you say climate change, really, I think we should just change it. We're now in an area because of our what we've done with to the climate, where we have extreme weather, and extreme weather can pop up anywhere. And I think people, Jim, I was talking about this earlier this morning with our meteorologist, that if you live in the tornado belt in the United States, and that siren goes off, you take it seriously. And if nothing comes your way, you're just glad that nothing came your way. If you live in people that have tsunamis, and that tsunami siren goes off, they take it seriously. Now, they don't want to see a 20-foot wave crash into their places, but they take it seriously. And if it's only a 1-foot wave, something went wrong, they take it seriously. In this country, people do not, outside of the tornado zones and some people who live in certain extreme areas, people don't take these advisories seriously, because you know what? If it doesn't happen, they figure, oh, well, it was a mistake. Advisories are put out not to be certain, but to warn you of the possibility of this happening. And more people have to take actions on their own, and more governors and senators and everything. When something comes out and it's pushed a week ahead of time, a mayor of a major city, a governor of that state, has got to buckle down and take it seriously right away.
So interesting about people not taking things seriously and not acting on information which has been reliable. I think, unfortunately, the vaccine situation in this country, where we have 100 and some odd million people who have not been vaccinated. For whatever reason, let's not get into that. But it's a naysayer approach. You pick the naysayer and his approach, and you've got countless people with all kinds of stupid ideas on why they shouldn't take the vaccine. The vaccine has proven successful just by the fact that, I guess, 94% of the people who are now getting COVID have been on vaccinated. What more proof do you need than those who are on vaccinated getting it? And unfortunately, the hundreds of thousands of people who've died. But it's like, okay, I'm putting my head in the sand. I've got some idea of my own, and I don't care. Well, the whole part of this thing we're talking about here, people have got to wake up. If you want to survive, you've got to wake up, because this thing is not going away. This is going to get worse before it gets better. Why? Because that's the way things work when it comes to the weather. Certain things happen in the atmosphere. Certain temperatures change. They influence the oceans and so forth and so on. My God, if you just focus on the fact the storm was so incredible, at first it pushed the Mississippi River one way, and then it pushed them another with these tremendous winds. And look, there you go. I mean, it's like, the point is, people, please pay attention.
Yeah, it's amazing. People, there's so much distrust in the government now. It goes out to all agencies, and people just don't seem to pay attention. That's part of the national atmosphere. I want to go on to a couple of other different things here, Jim. I mean, we are approaching 9/11, the anniversary of what happened, and the hearings on 9/11 are just beginning in Guantanamo Bay. We hear locally once again in North Canaan on September 11th from midnight, September 11th on until 11:59. It will be open for people to come in, peacefully reflect about that day and remember the people that lost their lives and have lost their lives since then. They also announce the names of the dead. We are approaching September 11th, and as I said, we are just really now once again starting to look, and it looks like President Biden is really going to open up the papers that show the Saudi involvement in this.
Indeed he is. It's certainly a long time in coming, and I can imagine there are some people in this country shuddering in their boots, and I will be rather bold to say the Saudis should be shivering a bit. The point is, rather than going beyond the issuance of the report, let's wait for the report, but it's going to be a shocker. It's going to be a shocker, and maybe this will give us a better wake-up call in terms of what we're doing internationally, the money we're spending, the allies we're dealing with. We have this love affair with the Saudis, and maybe that's going to come apart when this report is out. I remember when I was in the Navy, I was on a squadron out of Norfolk, Virginia, so I wasn't on the high seas, so to speak. But a number of friends of mine, when we all went in, they X amount of them went on ships. And I said to myself as a young kid under 20, why the hell are they going to the Mediterranean? And they were going there because of the oil. And this country was just over the top in terms of protecting those countries who had oil because we were going to get the oil. Well, you know, there's a point at which a major country cannot be doing those kinds of things to sacrifice millions and eventually trillions in our foreign affairs just to make sure, oh, we'll get the oil, make sure these guys are, you know, okay with us and so forth. Meantime, we're dealing with, I don't want to say savages, but people of different cultures that have no regard for the well-being of anybody, including the people in their country. Getting out of Afghanistan, as painful as it might be, in terms of we didn't deploy or exit properly, we're out. We're out. And the key is, trillions of dollars later, we're not going to spend more money on a dry hole, which, by the way, should be very helpful in funding things like rebuilding the United States of America. And hopefully, if we get an infrastructure bill, we'll have more and more money to deal with the tremendous cost it's going to take to rebuild our roads, our bridges, our pollution control, and try and prevent discount, change the way we deal with these things, which are devastating. You know, individual cities, states, whatever, they really feel the pain. God bless the people in Louisiana I don't know how they do it, but they do it quite frequently. People can only take so much. They just can't. They die, they give up, whatever. We have just got to preserve what we've been given, which is a great country. And how can fires continue on and on and on in California? Well, you know, we had these fires over the last 10 years, and it just got worse, worse, worse. Nobody has stood up and done what it takes. I'm not an expert in fire prevention, but I do know, having been there a few times visiting people, they do have patrols that come by, particularly in the canyon or off Los Angeles, and they look, and if you haven't been taking care of your brush on your property, they give you a fine, and they come back the next day and make sure it's done. That's just an incidental thing, but it's key. The tribes, in the Navajo tribes and other indigenous people, they know how to handle these things. They do burn stuff up so it doesn't eventually create a major fire. But we don't have that on a whole-scale basis, and we have too many people, back to what we've just been discussing, just taking everything for granted. God gave us a wonderful land. We cannot take it for granted.
I want to go one other place now. We have, of course, our observance coming up September 11th, remembering that date. Well, folks, about a week after that, on September 18th, there is a rally called Justice for J6. Justice for J6, September 18th. And that rally is a rally that supports the insurrectionist charged in the riot on January 6th at the Capitol. The event has been organized by a former Trump campaign staffer, and now they're finally waking up on Capitol Hill, and they're talking about taking security measures. I think instead of just thinking about it, if this were a Black Lives Matter protest being planned, there would be in the last administration, we saw what happened. They sent the National Guard out on the streets and surrounded every monument and everything. That was for a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest. I think once again, Washington D.C., they should bring the National Guard troops in there and just make sure that nothing, even close to what happened before on January 6th happens again. I think they have to take this uber seriously.
Well, twofold my response. One, as it grows near to 9/11, and CNN had quite a bit of documentary on it, which was quite good, actually, very good. It really saddens me just the thought of it. A long time before 9/11, I actually was on the 105th floor of one of those buildings, and there's a certain melancholy about it. I also know people who lost a son-in-law and a nephew, and it kind of, in a way, the melancholy feeling goes to, boy, I wish I could do something with this. Now, this other thing on the 18th, I want to see the National Guard out there. I want to see them with AK-47s, and I want to see them blast away at anybody who decides to act up. That's it, okay? That's it. The crap is over with these people who don't want to live in this country and want to berate honest citizens just trying to do whatever they're trying to do. So I'm gung-ho on this. Put these people down. I don't even understand why they gave them apparently the right to do this thing.
Well,
New York City give the right to people to protest outside of a jail for the prisoners? This is what we're talking about.
I know, but it's a tricky subject. You've got to give them the First Amendment right for speech, but what you don't have to do is give them the latitude and be prepared that if they're going to do something nefarious after that, you should have enough people on hand to make sure that it doesn't happen again. These are really tight paths we have to cross here, but yes, you have a right to get your soapbox and stand on it and say what you want. You don't have a right to riot and do something with violence. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the government handles this. I hope they handle it the right way, because it's just another telling point of how divided this country is. Even, you know, it just amazes me, actually, Jim, you know, how divided this country is on COVID, on...
Well, I'm really not sick of this freedom of speech routine, okay?
Yeah.
That you're not allowed to be an insurrectionist.
Yep.
You can sit on your soapbox all day long, but if you decide to say fire or violence or blood in the street, as some politicians actually in D.C. have said, not allowed.
Yeah.
That is not free speech. That's speech to create violence, pandemonium, and against our government. I do not accept it.
You're right. It's a point that has now become a gray point, and it shouldn't be in a democracy like we have. It shouldn't be a gray point. But once again, it goes back to society and how social media has come to direct the tribes in this country. And as days go by, we see more and more how this country just is going to have to struggle to get back together. But we've got a big job in front of us, Jim. We only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, but coming up, we've got the bill to redo our infrastructure. We've got the other bill, which the Democrats are going to pass to put more money into saving the economy. And we have some other big laws that are coming up. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks ahead for us, Jim.
Most importantly, we have a new year. God bless everybody who celebrates, and all of us all who are going to celebrate.
This is a chance.
Let's just hope, as Joe Biden said, God bless us, please.
Well, this is one chance where, and we were funny, I was talking to Arthur Schwartz about this yesterday. He said, this is a chance for you folks that think this last year has been terrible. Even if you're not Jewish, wipe the slate clean. Start the new year now, because
all become Jewish.
That's right. Become Jewish for the day ends and wipe the slate clean.
When we were kids, we always said, why can't we have those holidays?
That's right. Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good to talk to you, Margaret. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets this morning on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, all the opinions that are expressed are on Cover Your Assets are either those of Jim or myself, and don't represent Robin Hood Radio, the people that work or volunteer here, or CATV6, or the Bargain Barn, which also is under the Robin Hood Tri-State Public Communications banner.